Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 8th chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. So just what's up with this guy anyway? I mean, what's his deal? Look at him. For starters, the man doesn't live in a house. But that doesn't mean that the man is homeless. He lives out at the cemetery. And he takes sharp stones and he cuts himself, which may mean that he had self-esteem issue. I mean, the guy lives out of the cemetery. Oh, and the man who lives at the cemetery, the one who cuts himself with sharp stones, for that guy, clothing is optional. So what would you think if we had a guy for whom clothing is optional, who cuts himself with stones, who lives out of the cemetery? As far as I know, we don't have a guy like that in town. But what would you think if we did? And he was a pretty strong guy. He would go out into the country and he would frighten people, and they would go out and fetch him and bring him back into town and lock him up. But each time they locked the man up, he would break out of the chains and go back out into the country and frighten people. And Matthew tells us that people avoided the man. They avoided him. So what's up with this guy anyway? What's the guy's deal? Demons, that's his deal. The man is possessed by demons, plural. And you know, when I was a kid, sitting in the pew over at St. Matthew in Milan, when I was a kid, and the pastor read about demons in the Bible, and talked in his sermons about demons, when I heard that, I always wondered two things. Firstly, I wondered if demons are still around, or was that just something that happened way back then? That's the first thing I wondered. Are they still around? And I wondered, if they're still around, if those demons could ever hurt me, like they seem to hurt a lot of people in Bible times. So were they real, and can they hurt me? Those are the two questions I always had. After dinner at Simon's house, we read about this last week, I think Luke tells us that Jesus went on through the cities and villages preaching and bringing good news of the kingdom of God. And when they got to the other side of the sea and they disembarked from the boat, they went and were met by a man from the city who had demons, and he lived not in a house but among the tombs. And the man who had demons, plural, seems to know Jesus. Because when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I ask you, do not torture me." He seems to know Jesus. He seems to be afraid of Jesus. And he seems afraid that Jesus is going to hurt him, doesn't he? And the man's fear seems to be rooted in what Jesus has just done. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Now, the word spirit is a different word from the word demon. And the unclean spirit of the man is singular. And there were many demons in the man, and those demons were making his spirit, we only have one of those, unclean. So demons come in and make his spirit unclean, and that's not a good thing. And you wonder why the man considered it to be torture, he says, that Jesus was trying to rid him of the demons, thereby cleansing his spirit. You would think that the man would welcome that kind of help, the guy who's going to cast out these demons from him. But he's like the addicts on drugs, Inc., on Nat Geo, who you can see they're headed for short lives filled with hardship and misery, but at some point their addiction becomes normal. By the way, if you ever get a hankering for legalizing drugs like meth and heroin, or think that drug use is a victimless crime, tune in to Drugs Inc. on the Nat Geo channel. For this man to be possessed by demons, to have an unclean spirit, was normal, and like the drug addict, he views any attempt to help him as a threat to his way of life. He begs Jesus not to disrupt his life. The guy who's living out at the cemetery, they put you in chains. You break out of those chains and go out into the country, and people avoid you. Probably the man did not have much of a social life, and you wonder if he even went to family gatherings. Yeah, the man knows Jesus, who asked the man his name, and he said that his name was Legion, for many demons had entered him, plural. One demon is enough to raise havoc in the possessed person, and Mary Magdalene thought she had a problem with seven demons. Jesus threw them out of her. And it doesn't say exactly how many demons were in this man, but his name is Legion, and a Roman unit of 6,000 men was a legion, and the demons begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. The abyss, a word used in the Bible for hell, and they knew what was there, and they wanted no part of that. But how about those pigs, Jesus? Can we use those pigs instead of the abyss? Now, a large herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter them. And you know, if the Campbell family has taught us anything about wild pigs, and the Campbell family taught us much about wild pigs during those four seasons of American Hoggers, sadly, they will teach us no more. Apparently, they have been canceled. But they taught us that pigs are omnivores. In the wild, they will eat plants, and they will eat other animals. They'll eat just about anything. Luke introduces us to a large herd of pigs and tells us that they are feeding on the mountain. They're probably grazing and foraging mostly on plants and not so much on animals. Jesus releases the demons from the man. They enter into the pigs, which then stampede into a body of water and are drowned. And when the man, who had been herding the pigs, saw them stampede into the water and drowned, they did what any of us would do if we saw 2,000 plus pigs do that. They ran away. And they made their way into town, and they told people what they had seen. This would have been big news. And the people who heard about that pig wreck went out to see it for themselves. And they came upon Jesus, who was sitting down, the posture of a teacher. But what was really surprising was that the man with multiple demons, the man from whom the demons had gone out, can't quite put our finger on it, but the man seemed somehow to be different. Different. In fact, he was no longer living that crazy demon-possessed lifestyle. But instead, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and of sound mind. Oh, and he's gotten rid of his birthday suit. So the man took a turn for the better. Took a turn for the better. And from that demon-possessed lifestyle, he becomes of sound mind. And what that word means is that everything was fine. And I think that if you'd been possessed by demons for a long time, you might be a little bit off in the head. He's not. He's not. It says that he was of sound mind. Everything is good with this man. We've been to Florida three times, and we've seen a total of one alligator. Went to the Keys in January, stayed for a couple nights at a place smaller than a tiny house in a wildlife preserve on Big Pine Key, right off a prison break road. And the next day, then one of the mornings, we went to this swampy area, and there was an old man there with an observation platform. And down below, there was an alligator. "Don't worry," said the old man. "He's not going to hurt you." And it wasn't. And that's the only alligator I've ever seen. Saw signs all over Florida that said something like this: there may be alligators in any pond, lake, or river in the state of Florida, but you don't ever see those alligators. Went to the Everglades, went up to South Beach and didn't party. Went out to the Everglades and we spent an hour or two there. We wanted to see an alligator. We keep reading all this educational stuff about how we're doing bad things to the Everglades. They look fine to me. We just wanted to see an alligator, but we never saw an alligator. You never see alligators because alligators don't like people. And if you're a fan of Troy and the like at Swamp People, you know what I mean. And you know why? Alligators avoid people. So in Florida, you know that the gators are out there, you just don't see them. And we lived in northwest Montana on Vicarage in 83, 84 for a year, and went several times to Glacier National Park. We cross-country skied in Glacier one winter. Went bear hunting one day out west to Kalispell. Never once saw a grizzly bear. Grizzly bears don't like people. They avoid us like the plague. Asked one guy, Paul Kraft, they like to do a lot of hiking in Glacier. I said, aren't you scared of the grizzlies? He said, no, but I would be scared of all those tornadoes that kill people in the Midwest. See, you know the grizzlies are out there. You just don't see them. But closer to home, I don't see many raccoons. Don't see many coons. I know they're out there, but I just don't see them. Well, not live coons anyway. The average lifespan of the American raccoon is 2 to 3 years, the internet says, and the leading cause of death for the American raccoon is, well, the coons just never developed the skill of looking both ways before crossing the road. But living coons, you know, they're out there, you just don't see them. Demons are like raccoons and grizzly bears and alligators. They really don't like to be around humans, especially humans like Jesus. And also they don't like to be around especially humans who are talking about Jesus. Like the Christians do on Sunday morning and sometimes at other times during the week, we talk about Jesus, and demons don't like that. Generally, you don't see them. Sometimes you do. Generally, you don't see them. Because they don't want to be around people like us talking about Jesus. Shortly after we moved to Montana, I read the book Night of the Grizzlies. Fascinating read. It's one of those deals where I started in the evening and I just couldn't put it down at 4 o'clock in the morning. Wow, what a book. Fascinating. In the 1960s, a lone wolf grizzly bear went on a rampage, attacking several humans around Hedgepin Lake, just outside of Yellowstone. It's where we honeymooned, and there was concern that there were more grizzly attacks to come, but there wasn't. That was an anomaly, that night of the grizzlies. And I don't know if they ever figured out why, but grizzlies still avoid the humans, just don't like them. Sometimes, yeah, you get an attack every now and then, but generally not. And if you sound like a duck, the alligator may think you're a duck, according to an alligator expert. But when it finds out that it's a human, it'll spit you out. And the coon can destroy things, but a well-placed human appearance will generally make it make for the woods post-haste. And I think they steer clear of my neighbor's house altogether. The word's out. So are demons still around? Yes, they are. And every now and then you hear of demonic activity, but for the most part, demons are like grizzly bears, raccoons, and alligators. They can do a lot of damage, but you don't see much of them, and they generally avoid the humans, especially humans like Jesus, and that's very consistent in the Bible. They don't like Jesus, who is God, and Christians who talk about Jesus. And we got back from seminary for fourth year and had a new teacher. Dr. Bunkowski had been a missionary over in Africa for 15, 20 years. And we asked him about demons. He said they're all over the place over there. And he could tell story after story about demon possession, demon activity in that place where they didn't talk about Jesus very much. But after 15, 20 years of talking about Jesus, the demon activity seemed to diminish and eventually almost go away altogether. Then I got out of seminary, and my first call was to Zion, Burnett, Wisconsin, and about the second or third circuit meeting with the other pastors. This one guy starts talking about some of his members whose house was haunted, and I thought, that sounds kind of odd. It wasn't. It was true. The house was haunted. You can see it on the internet, and the people eventually had to move out of the house, and it turns out that the previous owners had invited Satan and the demons into their house. And if you want to invite Satan and the demons into your house, you can do that. Probably don't want to. So yeah, they're out there. And you might remember the Son of Sam killer, who the voices were telling him to do things that were not good. So it happens. So they're around. Don't see very much of them. Can they harm me? That's the second question. No. They can't. And texts like this are proof and exhortation and encouragement that Jesus has power over the demons. They are scared of him. He's not scared of them. And the name of Jesus is enough here to make them flee. When Satan and demons hate, that's what Satan and demons hate, is for people to be talking about Jesus. They hate for us to be here on Sunday morning, and we talk a lot about Jesus here on Sunday morning. Satan hates Sunday morning around the world more than any day. And Satan and the demons also hate people, especially Christian people. And in holy baptism, God places his Holy Spirit into us, and that fills up that spot. And the demons can't get in. What we did with little Everett here this morning was just that. Put the Holy Spirit into him, chased away all the demons, and they won't be getting anywhere near him because he's a Christian. So that's what God does for us. Comes into the world, Jesus comes into the world, casts out demons, shows himself to be powerful over demons, and then Jesus goes to the cross to pay for our sins, to take away our sins, and in holy baptism, he gives us freely, of great cost to himself, freely to us, the Holy Spirit, the washing of regeneration. Paul called it putting on the clothing of Christ, his righteousness, and giving to little Everett freely the Holy Spirit. And that's God's deal. That's God's deal. That's what he does. And that's a pretty good deal. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and